If you missed it, in the tsunami of national news today, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel is self-quarantining at her home in Michigan after testing positive for the coronavirus. Several news sources, including the New York Times, are reporting that she was in contact with President Trump in recent weeks. He, as you've heard, has also tested positive. All of this was top of mind already here in Michigan, ever since State Representative Beau LaFave also tested positive. Chad Livengood is with us today. He's a senior editor at Crain's Detroit, and he's written an open letter to Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey and House Speaker Lee Chatfield about these events. Chad, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, April.
And we're also joined by Zoe Clark, program director here at Michigan Radio. Zoe, nice to hear your voice.
Hi, April. Good to be here.
So let's talk first about State Representative Beau LaFave. He tested positive on Tuesday. Zoe, Chad, either of you know exactly how much disruption this has caused in House business?
Yeah, it's basically like other COVID infections in the legislature, grinding things to a halt because people that were around Representative LaFave, they've had to go get tested. People are also trying to sort of retrace their own steps. Couple things happened here. Representative LaFave got tested last Friday. The day before, he was in the House Judiciary Committee without a mask on, walking around in the House Appropriations Room with other representatives from the Republican Party in that committee, also not wearing masks. And in fact, he actually even shouted a couple of his votes from the back of the room. So it's kind of been a little bit of an incident of, hey, this is actually still real, folks. And just what happened with people not wearing masks, I think this put a finer point on that.
Yeah. So obviously, this was a moment to give people pause just in terms of the news getting out there. But I mean, Zoe, did the leadership take any additional actions as a result of this, just in terms of how people are supposed to, what they're supposed to do, keep spaced out, or how they comport themselves?
Well, right. And this has been the issue that we've been talking about. And let's remember, Representative LaFave is not the first member of the state legislature to contract COVID. And let's remember, we also believe that State Representative Robinson passed away from COVID. And
yet, Isaac Robinson.
Indeed. Yeah. And so, I mean, some hearings have had to actually stop, which is, you know, the correct thing to do after someone gets it, right? So, yes, it has disrupted meetings in the legislature. And I think this is one of the things that Chad was writing about in his article, which is, Chad, I believe you said that the Michigan legislature is now one of the largest organizations or employers in the state that doesn't actually mandate mask wearing.
Now, I wanted to ask about that. Chad, in your commentary, you said to Senator Shirkey and Speaker Chatfield that you see people behaving as if lawmakers are immune. I mean, isn't it recommended that people do wear masks, though?
The legislature, the legislative leadership has basically come up with the reasoning that they cannot require individual members to wear a mask as a condition of getting onto the floor of the House to vote. So they've made staff wear masks. They've encouraged members to wear masks, but there's no mandate of it. And so you have a really disjointed approach here where some people in the Capitol are masked up and some are not. And then those people that are not, they're a group of 148 individuals, they go home on Thursday to virtually all 83 counties of the state and then come back. And they're a more transient workforce. And I look at it from the prism of they are a workforce. They are going to do a job there. And then they come and go. And that is the way this virus can spread pretty easily into other communities.
Chad, is it true that male members of the legislature still have to wear ties into the chamber, but there's no rule about wearing masks?
That's right. I mean, into the House chamber, the Senate is a lot more liberal on the tie rules. But you can get denied at the door for not wearing a necktie in the Michigan House of Representatives, but you are not, your temperature is not checked.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, what should the leadership do when they say that they can't compel people to wear masks? I mean, is that true? I mean, why couldn't they just pass a rule that says all members will wear masks during this period of pandemic?
I don't understand why they can't just do a rule change, have a formal vote on it. The other thing that the legislature could do is adopt a remote voting resolution as well that allows them to vote, you know, in session or committee meetings remotely. They are, by my calculation, the largest and last board of directors of anything in Michigan that is not doing that. Pretty much every corporate board, every philanthropic foundation, nonprofit, county commission, city council, school board is meeting on Zoom or some other platform to make decisions on a day-to-day basis. Yet the legislature is like the last entity that's not. And, you know, we brought this up kind of in April after Representative Isaac Robinson passed away. They held session like 8 days later. And there was just, they were very dug in the legislative leadership against doing that. And they haven't even actually made any plans just in case there is a need to do it. And this is actually affecting lawmaking. In August, when Senator Tom Barrett contracted COVID-19, the Senate and the legislature itself had to shut down for 2 weeks. And that delayed the passage of really critical school restart legislation, literally weeks before schools were trying to get some direction from the legislature. So it's starting to affect their ability to do their job.
And I think what's unfortunate about this situation, right, is that it does feel political. It seems like this has just become such a political point about, are you a mask wearer or aren't you? When it seems like something as simple as what, you know, basically every Michigander is doing now when they go to the store or when they're filling up their tank of gas. You know, we have seen that this is something that folks are able to do throughout the state, and why the legislature needs to be different is I'm not quite sure I understand that at this point.
Well, Zoe, at this point, as I mentioned, RNC Chair Ronna McDaniel is at home in Michigan. She's tested positive. The president has tested positive. There have been these slowdowns in legislative business. Is this a moment of reckoning for Michigan Republicans who have staked so much on taking the opposite position to Governor Whitmer and backing the president?
Well, it's a very good question, and I don't believe and don't think that I can get into the minds either of Republicans or Democrats about what is a breaking point. But I can tell you, actually, both Chad and I were talking to a Livingston County Commissioner, Wes Nakagiri, who's very politically involved within the Republican Party, just this morning, who didn't seem that this was anything that needed to be changed or changed, you know, his mind. The president contracting COVID, will this be, I hate to use the word, but a game changer, which seems to sort of be what folks are talking about. It's 2020 April, and it just feels like trying to make predictions about anything these days is not a good idea, because, right, you know, the narrative, I mean, remember, it was just this week that we had the debate and that these blockbuster report from the New York Times about the president's taxes came out, and it just feels like it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 19 million punch one after another. And, you know, so who knows what the news is going to be this weekend or next week, right? It feels like right now.
It would take a person of remarkable hubris to guess what else 2020 can throw at us.
Amen.
One point
that.
Before we go, you two. August unemployment and job creation numbers came in this morning, and it appears the nation's recovery is slowing. We're in a situation now where we know that job creation slowed down. We know that there are more women who've left the workforce over the summer, largely because of childcare needs. And we know that Black Michiganders are struggling with unemployment. Black voters have been a hugely important block that the Biden campaign has intended to really get through to this year. If nothing changes between now and November, both of you, I wanted to ask what these factors mean for Michigan voters' mood. Chad, you first.
I think certainly there's plenty of economic data we've reported about in Cranes that this pandemic recession has hit women harder than men. And that's for the first time in any recession in U.S. history. And that certainly plays into the presidential election, in particular in the suburbs of Detroit. Right now, there is some polling showing double-digit leads by Joe Biden in Oakland County that would signal that the Democrats are going to have a tsunami of an election in Oakland County, which means it's going to be very, very hard for Donald Trump to win Michigan if he gets wiped out in Oakland County. And then it also means Democrats might also pick up several House seats, two or three possibly, in Oakland County to help them get closer to a majority, or even more politically intriguing, 55-55 tie in the House, which Zoe and I would quite enjoy watching, I'm sure.
I think the definition, Chad, would be geeked out over. We would geek out over that. Everything that Chad said, April, plus, I mean, look at, you know, Joe Biden in Michigan today, right on the west side of the state, which tends to lean Republican. And so, you know, in a Republican city, or excuse me, in a Democratic city, Grand Rapids, but in a Republican county. And so that is interesting also to just kind of map out where Biden and his surrogates are going to be throughout the state and try to read the tea leaves from that.
Guys, we got to go, but thank you so much. Zoe Clark, program director here at Michigan Radio, and Chad Livengood, senior editor at Cranes. Very nice to hear both your voices.
Thanks so much, April.
Coming up, artist Heidi Woodward Sheffield talks to us about getting a sense of texture out of 2D illustrations. She'll talk to us about her books and what's happening with kids' books more generally in a moment. Stay with us.